Our scripture lesson today starts in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Jesus teaching. As we stand in front of Memorial Day for a sermon named Not Forgotten, we look to those words again in red. That important. I may be seen as a little bit hard-nosed on this, but if I open up a Bible and Jesus' words are not put aside in red, I close it. Boom. Put it over there. I won't read it. It's a personal thing, but I think anything that important deserves to be set aside. And in most Bibles, they come out in red. Our pew Bibles are not, are they? That's why I don't read from them. Y'all can get red pens and underline them. I'll give you permission. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 9, we hear Jesus telling these words. Listen carefully. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. May God add his blessings to that passage. Join with me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you. We ask that you open our hearts up, our ears up, and prepare us for the message today. Whatever it is, whatever turns it takes, however it may be brought out, it is from you, Father. Not me. It is for us, Father, not to be hidden, but to be stored up and taken and put out. We ask, Father, that we would not think about labor or anything other than being in the Holy Spirit and in your word right at this moment. And we ask you to strengthen us. In Jesus' name, all of his friends said, Amen. And so, we begin with a story. It may be gratitude that prompts an old man to visit a broken pier off the eastern seacoast of Florida every Friday night. He did this every Friday night until his death in 1973. People, do you want to come help? You bring her right up here. Because she's got something to say and I want to hear it. She's back here speaking in tongues. Every Friday evening, he would walk slowly, maybe a little bit bent over. And he had a large bucket of shrimp. And the seagulls would flock after this old man. And he would feed these seagulls from his bucket. You see, many years before 1973, in October of 1942, in fact, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour that would take Eddie into the fight of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, and so the men decided that they would ditch the plane in the ocean. And a lot of people think, well, that won't be so hard. You just slow it way down, you flare it at the last minute. For those of you not informed in aeronautics, flare is when the plane goes like this at the last moment. You know how I know that? Because me and that old man sitting there used to fly remote-controlled airplanes, and when we didn't flare them, they did this. Flare the plane at the last moment. Ditch it in the ocean. The decision has been made. And so they crashed into the water. And for nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions floated in a raft in the scorching sun and the cold nights, with sharks swimming around them, bumping into the raft. They see the fins come up. The largest raft was 9 by 5. The biggest shark was 10 feet long. And of all their enemies at sea, the most formidable proved to be starvation. 8 days out, their rations were gone, destroyed by the salt water. They needed a miracle. And in Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, William Cherry, read the service that afternoon. Read service. You understand, got the book out. And we finished off with prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off. The heat was pushing down. I pulled my hat down over my eyes to keep some sun glare off, and I dozed off. Now, Captain Eddie's still talking. Something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew it. But I knew, and everyone else knew it too. Not a word was said, but peering out from under my hat brim, without moving my head, I could see the expressions on their faces. They were staring at that gull. That gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. The flesh was eaten. The insides of it and the leftovers were used to bait fish. The survivors were stained, and their hopes were renewed, because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. And you know to this day that Captain Eddie Rickenbacker made it. And he never forgot. Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch of eastern Florida seacoast, you would see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy eyebrows, slightly bent, his bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls, to remember that one day, on a day long past, one gave itself without a struggle. And if you were lucky enough to be anywhere near him, you'd hear him saying, "Thank you. Thank you for bringing me that in a lonely wilderness." Not forgotten. That's a true story. I knew it was a true story. How did I know? I looked it up to make sure, because I couldn't believe a story like that. How many times have you thought about something like that? Paul Harvey told the story, and it is an honest, true story. Miraculously saved. And every day until his death, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker died of a sudden stroke in Zurich, Switzerland in 1973. But every Friday, off his home at the Florida seacoast, he took that time to remember that which gave its life to save him. Not for count, not forgotten. I've said it countless times. I do not like war. I don't like it. It's a fact of life, unfortunately. It has been all of our lives since the fall of man. I do not want it. I hate it. And what it does destroys people. But the fact is, so long as there are people out there, and they're there, make no mistake about it, who seek to destroy the very freedoms we hold dear, from being able to read the Bible to walking out of your house to getting in your car, we must defend it. And there are those out there who will always seek to stop it. Today, they are not forgotten. Say amen. Amen. Y'all know what's coming tomorrow. I've heard talk all week long about, oh, we're going to barbecue, and I'm going to paint the house, and heck, I even fell trapped to it. I sometimes wonder what goes on in my brain. I know you all do. But sometimes it even makes me stop and think about, what did I just think that for? And we were in town yesterday. We were visiting, and then we had to go get something. And we were driving by one of these home stores, and I broke my easy chair. I probably should never fix it. That way I'd get up and move around a little bit. And I said to Wendy, I said, hey, it's a big sale day this weekend. Let's slip into one of these here furniture stores and get me a new chair. And immediately, my brain went, I would rather slam my hand in the car door than go furniture shopping this weekend. I'm not a good shopper to start with, and I'll give you a case in point. Yesterday, we had to make two stops. We had to stop at Sam's Club to get meat and bread. I'm going to let you draw your own conclusions from that. And then the next store that we had to go to was Lowe's. When we stopped at the Sam's Club, I went in by myself. Wendy did not go with me. She sat in the truck and read while and I went in. We got the meat, we got the bread, and we come out of the store. When we went to the Lowe's, the next stop, and I parked the truck and opened the door to get out, she got out. I said, what are you doing? She goes, you're going into Lowe's. Well, yeah. And she goes, I don't trust you. Now, that's what 15 years of marriage will get you. And so suddenly the weekend lost its moment. This is Memorial Day weekend. We should never just set aside a day. We should always be in remembrance. But Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania. Does anybody know where that's at? Anybody ever heard of it? I see hands coming up. I have no idea where it's at other than it's near State College somewhere up there. You know what Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania has claim to? I don't see them hands flying up anymore. I see, no, Paul, I should have kept my hand down. Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania is credited with beginning of Decoration Day. See, ladies up there went around and started laying flowers, an ancient custom from all the way back, laying flowers on the graves of those who have sought to die in the protection of the country they love. And they went around putting these flowers on, and it grew from that. And from Decoration Day, we got what? Memorial Day. From a simple act, putting a couple flowers down in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania. Oh, there's a couple of Warrenton, Virginia claims, but Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania. There's about 3,700 people living in that little town. And they decorated to remember those who were fallen. Why? Because it was important that they were not forgotten. There is a graveyard down there where I work in Baltimore. I have been watching this now for the past 20 years, I reckon. For the past 15 years of my time down there, it has been invisible unless you knew it was there to start with. And the only reason I knew it was there is because I went out one night to do some work on a transformer, and I turned around and looked, and I was right near a grave. And I got to tell you, when you're in an open transformer and you look over and you see a grave 10 feet away, you suddenly don't feel so good anymore. And the whole cemetery has been forgotten. Gravestones laying all around. Somebody has begun to remember, because they have gone in and cleared it, and they have begun to straighten it up. And I have seen flowers appear, and I have seen little flags appear. I don't know half of anybody out there. I know a couple. And yet I'm always amazed when I look out there and I see flowers and markers on graves. I have no idea. Somebody knows who's out there. Why? Because they are not forgotten. And we tend to do that, don't we? We tend to forget. We tend to get to going 100 miles an hour. And suddenly we look back and I heard somebody say, it's almost June. Do you realize it was hotter than the surface of the sun this past Monday? I literally went outside and cracked an egg on the sidewalk. 3 days later, I woke up, or yesterday morning, I woke up, how many days it was, and I was sitting downstairs, and I was reading a book, and I fell asleep, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, what in the world? And it's 40 degrees outside, and I'm sitting in front of an open window. I told you I'm not that smart. And I want to find those people that go, oh, it's just too cold. I want it to be so hot because I am going to when you start talking about how hot it is. And I suddenly realized June is just right over there. We tend to forget. We do things to remember our fallen. And on this day, we remember those who fell in the service to save and lift us. 21 steps. 21. Heel to toe. I can't do it because I'm too fat. I cannot walk like that. I'll fall down. It'll be funny. But the man walks that thing. See, I'm going to go over. The man walks that thing, walks it like that. He does not stop until he gets to the end. 21 steps. At the tomb of the unknown soldier, if you've ever been there, it'll remind you of a price. I've been there twice. One time I was there. It was me and four other people. Do you know that the tomb of the unknown soldier is guarded 24 hours a day, round the clock? In the face of storms, in the midst of blizzards, they still walk that path because they do not want to forget whoever's in that box gave their life so that they could walk that path. They change guard every hour in the wintertime and every half hour in the summertime until after dark, then they go back to an hour. And the changing of the guard, they make it very serious. In order to be the man that walks that carpet, you give up 3 years of your life. You're cut off from the outside world. You don't see a television. You don't listen to a radio. You know every soldier in Arlington Cemetery. You know everything about it. You know how to recite a 7-page document on Arlington Cemetery so that people will not forget. What do you get? At the end of your 3 years, you get this little badge, this little pin. And you wear that pin. And that pen reminds you to never speak ill, never swear in public, never be drunken, never fight, and never, ever forget. Second time I was down there, there was a bunch of people down there. Now, I'm just a dumb hillbilly, I know this, but I know where respect lies. And I was there that day when a bunch of these idiots down in front of me, and I'm sure they were Democrat, started acting up. And they don't talk. And that man stepped off that carpet and scared me. He said, "You will be in respect for the dead here as we walk." Man, the whole place. I stood up and I went, "Yes, sir." It's that important that we don't forget. It's that important that we don't let go of everyone in our life who had anything to do with us. And brothers and sisters, I'm not just talking about the military. Memorial Day has other meanings. I've been doing a little light reading. A little bit of light reading. This is called... And you probably can't see. This is the complete works of William Shakespeare. These are the plays. I mean, these aren't abridged versions. These are the complete works of William Shakespeare. You see how big that book is? If you throw this book at somebody, they're going to be out for a couple hours. And on the front of this book, I think somebody's had a sense of humor because it says compact edition. Now, I'd hate to see the full-size one. You throw your back out trying to turn a page. Right. In Shakespeare's play, Henry V, and I'm not going to get through this. In Act 4, Scene 3, Henry V, the King of England, sees insurmountable odds, understands that he must lead his army to substantiate the rule of England against the French. 1415. Go look it up. Shakespeare writes these words, Warwick, Westmoreland. "Looking out the window and seeing what's going on, says these to King Henry. After King Henry has dispatched Salisbury and Exeter and Gloucester, because they know that they go to fight an impossible fight. Warwick says, "Oh, that we now had here but 1/10,000 of those men in England that do not work today." And the king knew. And so Shakespeare gave these words to the voice of King Henry. He said, "What's he that wishes to do? My cousin Warwick? No, no, my fair cousin. If we are marked to die, we are enough. To do our country loss, and if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray they wish not one more. By Jove, I am not covetous of gold, nor care what I doth feed upon my cost. It errs me not if my men my garments wear. Such outward things dwell not in my desires. But if it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending of sinners alive. No faith, my cousin. Wish not a man from England God's peace. I would not lose so great an honor. As for one man, methinks, would share from me for the best hope I have. Oh, do not wish me one more. Rather proclaim it presently through my host, that he which hath no stomach for this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispin. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispin. He shall see that this day and live to old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin's day. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day, old men forget, yet all shall be forgot. But he'll remember with advantages what feasts he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry the King, Bedford, Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall be the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world. But in it we shall be remembered, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall render gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed that they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap while any speaks that fought with us on St. Crispin's Day." Do you understand? Not forgotten. They knew where they were going when they went into it. They knew what lay in front of them. And brothers and sisters, I submit to you that it's not just those who wear a military uniform. It is the mother and father that cared for us. It is the friend who saw us in our worst time lift us up. It is the one that we love that has gone on. It is the Christ Jesus that came to us at our lowest point and said, "I die for you, that you not be forgotten." It is that moment when he hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that they be not forgotten." And gave us charge to do what? Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which you do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Not forgotten. It is our charge, brothers and sisters. Not forgotten. Why do we remember? What does it mean? We remember because we need to. We remember because we are all a product of someone who gave for us. Everyone in this room who has someone they wish to memorialize, please stand. I don't know who it is for you, but somebody on your heart, in your memory, is why you stand this moment. And above all them was him. Why you now know the gates of heaven swing open wide. Why you now know that those who have gone on before you are saved and in comfort and in luxury and await you is because of Jesus Christ. Why we are able to stand here and look at that cross fully without fear, without loss, is because someone somewhere gave their life for us that they would never be forgotten. You may be seated. I don't take Memorial Day lightly. It stays in my heart all day long. And so who are we? Shakespeare wrote these words in line 20. If we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greatest share of honor. Shakespeare is simply saying there, if we are to be that person that Jesus Christ says would lay down our life for our friends, that they may gain from it, then that's who we are. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people today that we need to think about. This morning when I woke up, I had dreamed of my mother last night, whom has been dead for almost 10 years, 2006. I don't go thinking of her very often. But today I remember the woman that gave me life and gave up to me to have life. And although she was taken so suddenly, she would be here to tell me, don't think about me, don't forget me, but remember all of those, from the youngest to the oldest, who have given you what you are right now. On this Memorial Day, let us not forget. Let those who have gone on before us be not forgotten. No matter who they are, no matter what they are, let us not forget those who laid down the ultimate sacrifice that we may be better for it. From the military, to the police, to the fire, to our own family, to Jesus Christ eternal. Not forgotten. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand here today, as we think about this day, as we are put forth on this day, let us remind ourselves that the greatest simple memorial ever is that cross. Let it not be forgotten in what it stands for. It stands for the fact that we will not be forgotten on that day when we're called home Let us remember those who have given everything they have, the ultimate sacrifice, for what they believed was worth the cost. It is okay to be patriotic. It is okay to love the country that you've given us. It is okay to be in mourning and to be in sadness for those that gave, but they went so that we could have. Your Son went so that we would always have. We thank you, Father. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we prepare for the last hymn, if you have need, the prayer bench is open. If you need that prayer, come see me. Thank you, and God bless, and happy Memorial Day.